follow along. Oh, wait. I want to do something because I'm getting ahead of myself here. How many of you have been in a church where they have what's called possibly responsive reading? Okay? How many of you have been in a church where maybe the leader would say something and you're supposed to answer? Okay? Well, that's what we're going to do now, because that is exactly how this psalm was meant to be read. Okay? If you study the history of this psalm, if you study it even in the life and history of the Jewish people, this is a call and response. And your response is the same every time. Okay? So I'm going to read, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good," and you're all in together going to say, "For his mercy endureth forever." And we're going to do that through the whole psalm. So are you ready? You all there? "For his mercy endureth forever." Okay. So let's start. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone doth great wonders. To him that by wisdom made the heavens. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters. To him that made great lights. To the sun, the sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn. And brought out Israel from among them. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him which led his people through the wilderness. To him which smote great kings and slew famous kings. Shihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land for an heritage, even an heritage unto Israel his servant. Who remembered us in our low estate, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, who giveth food to all flesh. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. What do you think the psalmist is trying to tell us there? God's mercy endures forever. And that's something that we should, number one, thank the Lord for every day, his mercy. Now, this psalm has no title. We don't know the human author, but we do know that this psalm was sung at Solomon's temple. We are not going to turn there, but 2 Chronicles 7, this psalm was sung there. And when Judah, under Jehoshaphat, when they defeated Moab and Ammon, in the wilderness of Tekoa in 2 Chronicles 20. This comes from the Jewish Study Bible, and I quote, "This psalm is known in Jewish liturgy as the Great Hallel and has been incorporated into the Passover Seder." Have any of you ever been to a Jewish Passover Seder? Okay. And you'll be familiar with it because this is read during that time. It is part of the introductory prayers to the morning service on Sabbath days and festivals. And again, the psalm was written to be chanted responsively, with the rabbi reading the first part of the verse and the congregation together answering with the second part, like we just did. The theme of this psalm is the same theme as Psalm 135, which we looked at last week. God should be praised for his works of creation, his protective care, his deliverance, his judgments on their enemies, and his goodness to all. Now, this psalm recounts in chronicle order the many acts of chesed, is the way to say it in Hebrew, which means mercy, that God did for Israel in the past. Since God took note of us in our degradation and rescued us from our enemies in the past, there is assurance that he will do it again. Now, that's one of the wonderful things about reading history, especially biblical history. We see how God cared for and redeemed and rescued. And since God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what kind of assurance then can we have that he will also rescue and redeem us? So it's good to know that. Now, the psalm begins and ends with a call to thanksgiving to Jehovah. When you see in your Bibles all capital letters, L-O-R-D, the Hebrew word behind that is Jehovah. And the reason is because his mercy endures forever. Now, the repeated refrain, for his mercy endures forever. Now, let's say it in Hebrew. Now, when you talk in Hebrew, you kind of have to have that, you know. Can you do it? Practice that for a little bit. Okay, you got to kind of like clear your throat. I hate the word that comes in my mind, but, you know, kind of that phlegmy, you know. So say chesed. Say that. Chesed. Come on. Chesed. Andrew, you just spit on Dana. So. Chesed olam. Say that. Chesed olam. You know what you just said? For his mercy endureth forever. Chesed olam. For God's mercy endureth forever. Okay, I heard it. I heard a ch. She did. Okay, good. So practice that. We'll have a quiz. Chesed olam. Now the Hebrew word chesed is translated mercy 149 times in the Old Testament, goodness 12 times, kindness 40 times, and loving kindness 30 times. The thought behind the word is God's undeserving kindness to us. It's a rich word. It's kind of a word that English really can't get a handle on. So, chesed olam, his mercy endureth forever. The outline of the psalm is verses 1 to 4, the prelude, and the psalmist gives thanks to God for his goodness and his greatness. And then we see in verses 5 to 9 the fact that he is the creator. In verses 10 to 15, he is the redeemer. In verses 16 to 22, he is the preserver. In verses 23 to 25, he is the provider. And finally, in verse 26, the doxology, give thanks to the God of heaven. Now, I'm going to do this a little bit differently than we normally do, and I want to key more on that word mercy rather than doing a verse by verse, because, if you follow through the outline, you know, we're giving thanks to God because of his goodness and his greatness. We know God is good. We know he's great. We know he is the creator. We know he is our redeemer. We know he preserves us. We know he provides for us. We know he's the God of heaven. Therefore, we should give thanks. But let's just key in a little bit on that Hebrew word, chesed. It's a word for God's steadfast love that is so much richer and deeper than our English word for love. It's based in God's covenantal relationship with Israel. Chesed is a steadfast, it's unmovable, it's faithfulness that endures to eternity. Look what Isaiah 54:10 says. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness, which in the psalm, that word chesed there is translated mercy, but my mercy shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that had mercy on thee. So think about that. God's kindness shall never depart from us. Chesed is a love that is so enduring that it persists beyond any sin or betrayal to mend brokenness and graciously extend forgiveness. Hasn't God been merciful to us? Not only in saving us, but think about, and that's tremendous mercy, but think about his mercy that he continues to extend to us even after we're saved. Lamentations 3. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he causes grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Who wrote Lamentations? Jeremiah. What was taking place all around Jeremiah when he wrote that verse? Israel was being taken away captive, carried away right before his very eyes because of their sin. And the Lord, and he says, because he knows the Lord's mercy, he says, the Lord will not cast us off forever. And isn't it interesting? It was Jeremiah that God told 70 years, I'll visit you again. When God's presence passed by Moses on Mount Sinai and revealed his very essence, God proclaimed his great chesed, Exodus 34:6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. So see, some of these different English words behind this Hebrew word, we get an idea of his kindness, we get an idea of his goodness, we get an idea of his mercy. The word chesed speaks of a completely undeserved kindness and generosity done by God. And this was the Israelites' experience of God. You know, when right after God delivered Israel from Egypt, what did they do? Complain. But God, because he is so merciful, so kind, so loving, he didn't destroy them. He revealed himself to them when they were not looking for him. And he kept his covenant with them long after their persistent breaking of it had destroyed any human reason for his continued keeping of it. Just think about that. The nation is carried away captive. The tribes separate. The 10 northern tribes are taken away, and Judah and Benjamin later. They are restored to the land, but they never really had possession of it. And in the midst of all of that, and in the midst of great oppression by the Roman Empire, God begins to work again, and he sends the Messiah to them, a people who deserve nothing but judgment, because he is merciful. His mercy endures forever. Unlike humans, God is not fickle, undependable, or self-serving. You know, a lot of times we get a little annoyed at people, and we're not so merciful. Some of us aren't so merciful before we have that first cup of coffee. Okay. Instead, God is always faithful. He's always true. He's always upright. He's always generous. Like other Hebrew verbs, chesed is not just a feeling, but it's an action. It intervenes on behalf of loved ones and comes to their rescue. I mean, just think about that word, you know, even our English word love, you know. I love my wife. That's good. I love hunting. And what do you do when you hunt? You go out, you kill something, you chop it up, and you eat it. Well, you cook it first, but you know. But so, you know, so see how even that word love, it really can't describe. And we really don't have English word that can do justice when we think of God's mercy. It's not a feeling, it's an action. It intervenes on behalf of loved ones. It comes to their rescue. Because chesed is often active, it is also translated as mercy or loving kindness. But neither of these words can fully convey that chesed acts out of an unwavering loyalty even to the most undeserving. None of us here deserve God's mercy. But because he is such a gracious God and merciful God, he gives it to us. Chesed is love that can be counted on day after day, year after year, decade after decade. Some of you here in the auditorium today, some of you have been saved for a short amount of time, and some of you have been saved for a long time, decades. And you can account over all of those decades God's unwavering grace, mercy, and love. Because he never changes. It's not about the thrill of romance, but the steadfast security of faithfulness. Today, chesed is becoming harder for people to understand. Love to so many is dating and romance. Finding someone online because your profile said you were compatible. Then a candlelit dinner, a sunset walk along the beach, and whammo, love.
Wow.
Maybe. I remember the very first time I set eyes on my wife in our living room in Old Bridge, New Jersey. The very first time I said to myself, I'm going to marry that girl. I love her. I never met her before. Heard about her. And then a week later, I asked her to marry me. And for some strange reason, she accepted. But you know, I thought I loved her then. But I really didn't love her. Like I do now. And that love has grown. You know, and love takes time to grow. Now, God's love for us never grows. But we begin to, because it's full to begin with, okay? Let me. God's love never grows. Because it's the maximum to begin with, okay? But what do we learn more and more about God's love, God's mercy, God's care? You know, you talk to some dear senior saint, and boy, they'll just sit down and tell you stories about God's love and mercy. Too often our focus on love is short term. It's because lifelong loyalty has become so rare. I couldn't help but think of this. My grandparents were married 64 years when my grandfather died. 64 years is a long time. I haven't even been alive that long yet. 64 years. I had the privilege when they were married 60 years redoing their vows. And I remember asking my grandparents, how did you make it 60 years? And my grandfather said, one day at a time, day by day. And when we were kids, my grandparents I'm talking about now. You know, when you see your mom and dad hold hands, it's like, ugh! You know, when you see your grandparents do something romantic, it's like, oh! I remember when we were little kids, my grandfather had a 1962 Ford pickup. It was aqua blue. Remember those old colors? It was aqua blue. It had a bench seat. and a shifter on the column, and Grandpa would sit in the driver's seat, and Grandma would sit right next to him. My grandmother! And we used to think, but isn't that cool, now that I'm an old guy? That's cool. They loved each other. Their love grew. And their love for each other grew day by day by day. 64 years it lasted. You know, more and more of us grow up in broken homes, being raised by grandparents or single moms, are we losing our ability to imagine a love that never ends? That's God's love for us. You may have grown up in a broken home. You may have grown up in a single family home, a single parent home. Maybe your grandparents are raising you. That's the world. God's love is not that way. God's love is steadfast. It will never, ever let you down. Never. More and more Christians even talk about their relationship with God as some sort of romance. How many Christians are only dating the Lord and not married to Him? On my worst day, God's chesed, God's mercy, is what I hang on to. When I'm not lovable, He still loves me. Just like I have entered a covenant relationship with my wife when I married her, the Lord is in a covenant relationship with me. And because of His chesed, He will never leave me or forsake me. Never. And there's something that is that people who believe that you can lose your salvation don't understand. When God makes a covenant, He doesn't break it. I will never leave you or forsake you. Oh, you may do things that make Him angry and make Him have to take you out to the woodshed, but He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And He disciplines us. Why? Because He loves us. So today, as we pray, let us focus on the Lord's mercy on us. Think about that. His chesed, His everlasting mercy, His steadfast love, His unmovable faithfulness, which none of us deserve. None of us deserve this. So I'm so thankful for Joanna. Where is Joanna? Way back there. Joanna is going to be in charge of our prayer list, and weekly she's going to update this. So they're in the back if you haven't received one yet. But remember, the main thrust of this prayer time is we're praying and thanking God for His steadfast chesed for us, for His everlasting mercy, His steadfast love, His unmovable faithfulness, which none of us deserve. So break up into groups, and in your groups, okay, if you have some prayer requests that you want to share, share those. Make sure you have some little people with you in your group and teach them to pray. Are you going to run some more off? Sandy will run some more of those off, okay? But break up into groups and be praying. And let's today focus on God's great love for us. And let's say it one more time. Chesed Olam. Chesed Olam. Remember that. His mercy endureth forever. Okay, find a group.